You already had your, oh, you're back. They're the real gospel preachers here now. Last time I was here, they said, someone in the opening remarks mentioned that I preached 3 hours. And it wasn't quite, it just felt like that. It wasn't quite 3 hours. But I want you to know something. Since then, I have gotten a whole lot better. Okay? And with more better comes more time. Okay? So therefore, I have more to share with you this morning. So 3 hours the first time was because I didn't know much. But I have since then done a lot of study and know a little bit more than I did then. And then someone had mentioned that we have a potluck after the sermon. That's what they said. They said we have a potluck after the sermon. And I said, I don't have a problem with that because the word after the sermon was there. Okay, so therefore that means when I'm done. And if you want to leave early, go ahead and go for it. I know some of you by name, and I will actually call you down as you're walking out of the auditorium this morning. I might have told you one time the one preacher who said the guy got up to walk out while he was preaching, and he said, where are you going? And the guy said, I'm going to get a haircut. The preacher looked at him and said, well, why didn't you get a haircut before you came? He says, because I didn't need a haircut before I came. So I'm not going to keep you long enough where you're going to need a haircut this morning. But looking around the audience at some of the men, I won't even go there. I'm going to start off this morning with a question. A question that I want you to answer out loud. And the question is this. Do you love the Lord?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you a question this morning. And the question is this. Do you love the Lord?
Yes.
This morning I'm going to ask you a question. And when I ask this question, I don't want you to answer out loud. I want you to answer this question to yourself. I want you to answer this question deep, deep down inside. You ready? The question is this. Do you love the Lord? I want us to go Colossians chapter 1. This morning our message is going to be very, very simple, but I believe very, very profound because of the roots of the message. Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to ask you to read that text with me. We're going to read Colossians chapter 1 together. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15, and we're going to read verses 15 through 18. Are you with me? Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. But what I want us to do is I want us to, as we're reading this morning together, every time we see the word he, every time we see the word him, if we see the word his, I want us to replace that with the word Jesus. Are you with me? Every time you see the word he, his, him, I want you to replace that with the word Jesus. You with me? Okay, let's go to Colossians chapter 1 and let's read verses 15 through 18 together out loud. And here's what the text says. The text says, and Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Read with me, church. The firstborn of all creation. For by Jesus all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by Jesus and for Jesus. And Jesus is before all things. And in Jesus, all things hold together. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. And Jesus is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that Jesus himself might come to have first place in everything. Did you see your name in there anywhere? Did you see your name in there anywhere? In those short four verses, we see everything from the beginning of life to the end of life. Did you see your name there? Let me just answer that question. You didn't see your name there. You know what? I didn't see my name there. You know why? Because it's not about you. It's not about me. Life's not about you. Life's not about me. In these simple texts right here, here's what we found out. That everything that means anything is about who, church?
Jesus.
Here's the question. Don't answer out loud. Do you love the Lord? We live in a society right now, and sadly, some of us are buying into it, that it's all about us. It's all about me. It's all about what I like. It's all about what I want to do. We got to do everything just like I want. Why? Because it's all about me. My Bible tells me it's all about Jesus. You know, Coca-Cola, they found out that we're living in a society like that. You know that? They're finding out that, and their marketing strategy, they're trying to figure out, what can we do next? Well, we can make a little bit of money from people. You know what one of their marketing strategists come up with? He says, you know what we'll do? He said, why don't we put their names on the cans? Have you seen that? Why don't we put their names on the cans? Because they like seeing their names. We're living in a world right now where everything is about them. I wonder what we will do, how we will do, if we'll just put their name on a can. Do you know Coca-Cola's marketing strategy has gone out of the roof? Because of what? They put they didn't put my name. I haven't found Hiawatha on a can yet. In fact, I was in a store one day, and I was just looking through the cans. Because I like messing with people. And I'm just looking through the cans, and this lady who works in the store came over, and she says, are you looking for your name? And I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And she goes, well, just let me help you find it. What's your name? I said, Hiawatha. And she was like this. But she was just as good as I was, because she looked at me and she says, sir, They only put them on cans now, not the 2 liter bottles, and said, we'll let you know. But we are so obsessed with ourselves that seeing our name on a can has put not millions, but billions of dollars in someone's pocket. But church, visitors, teenagers, middle-aged people, old people, it's not about us. I am hearing how bad things are here in the nation. Oh, Brother High, somebody, what is Trump gonna do next? Is what somebody said. And you got one person on one side that says, I don't know what he's gonna do. It doesn't matter what he's gonna do, it's not gonna be good. And then you got somebody on the other side, here's what they say. I don't care what he does. I don't care what he says. It's going to be the good thing and the right thing to do. What is he going to do next? Then I had someone ask me, what is Nancy Pelosi going to do next? And I told him, you know what? I don't know what Nancy Pelosi is going to do next, but I don't feel bad. She doesn't know what she's going to do next. Then you got someone that says, I don't care what she does next, it's the right thing. You got someone that says, I don't care what she does next, it's not going to be a good thing. Church, it's not about us. It's not about Nancy Pelosi. It's not about Donald Trump. It's not about the White House. It's all about church. This is simple. But if I learn it, and if you learn it, it's going to take us a long ways in life this week. It's simple. It's all about Jesus. I still believe in the Bible, don't you? Kirk, if you would, find for me Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. It's a text that we know by heart. But sometimes that's where we leave it. We don't let it come out of the heart. But the text in Matthew chapter 28, he reminds us of something there. And that's when you're living in the United States or living anywhere in the world in 2019. Here's what my Bible says. What does it say? Matthew chapter 28, begin with verse 18. What does the text say?
Then Jesus
is speaking. That's who we're talking about.
Came to them and said.
What did he say to them? He said, I have a little bit of authority. Let me talk to you now, okay? Is that what he said? What did he say, Brother Kirk?
All authority.
Now, can you read with a little bit more excitement, okay? I'm up here trying to preach, and you're sitting out there, read with a little bit more excitement. Okay?
All authority.
Okay, start at the beginning again. Who do we have speaking here? We've got Jesus speaking, church. We don't learn anything else this morning. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about what's taking place in the United States of America. It's not about the Constitution. It's not about what your rights are. It's not about what my rights are. It all starts in another place. And once we find that place, church, our world is a better place. What did he say again, Kurt? This is your time to redeem yourself. What's the text say?
All authority.
You start at the beginning. Who's speaking?
Then Then Jesus came to them
then
and said.
Jesus came to them and said. What did he say?
All authority.
I've got a little bit of authority. He said, listen to Donald Trump. He said, listen to Nancy Pelosi. He said, listen to yourself. No, Jesus said, all authority has been what?
Given to me.
And where? Where?
In heaven and on earth.
And wait. Where are we? Some of you don't even know that, do you? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And what do you do, Kurt? What did he say?
Therefore,
go and make disciples. What?
Of all nations.
Doing what to them,
Kurt?
Baptizing them how?
In the name
of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then what did he say?
And teaching them
to what? To observe all things what that I've commanded you. And what, Kurt?
Surely
you're messing me up. What did he say? And surely what?
And surely I'm with you.
Always. For how long?
Until the very end.
Are you with Jesus this morning?
Yes.
He's going to be with you to the very end. There's nothing nobody or anybody can do against you if you're with Jesus. You know why? Because he says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. And we're walking around with our heads down. We're walking around all concerned and all worried because this just, North Korea might send a missile over here and it might land in this very space where we're standing, and when it lands, it's going to explode. And church, you know what? A missile can land here in this very room. If you're on the Lord's side, you're going to be all right. Now, you might be a little rearranged. Yeah, a little bit rearrangement might take place. But you know what? You're on the Lord's side. You know why? Because all of church, this is not profound. This is simple. But it's something that's profound and life-changing when it's part of my heart and my life. Jesus is in charge. Colossians here, before all things, during all things, Jesus is in charge. When Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi in Matthew chapter 16, he came there, and here's what Jesus asked. Jesus says, who do men say that I am? Do you remember that text? Who do men say that I am? And they started telling them. And you know, if you go out here and ask the world right now, if you go out here and say, do you love the Lord? Do you know what most people are going to say? You know what most people are going to say? Try it. When you leave today, when you go over wherever you go, ask people, do you love the Lord? You know what they're going to say? Most of them are going to give you an emphatic yes. And look at the shape our world is in. Look at it. They're going to answer yes too. Even the atheists, I believe, if you ask the atheist in the right way, if you walk up to an atheist, if you say to him, now, Mr. Atheist, if Jesus was who he said he was, just ask him like, if he was who he said he was, would you love him? You know what that atheist would say? Yeah. Yeah. If he was who he said he was. But how many of us as Christians who believe he's who he says he is, but we live like we live, all downtrodden and all worried, all what there? Church, it's not about me. You know, I remember one guy saying one time, said, you know what, said, I'm wanting the more profound stuff of the Bible. I thought, what? He said, yeah, I said, I don't want to be talking about love. He says, I want the profound stuff. He said, I want to talk about revelations. I looked at him and I was bold. I looked at him and I said, well, you know, that's fine and good, but first learn Revelation doesn't have an S on it. You want the profound? Learn the simple first. Church, do you love the Lord? I'm almost done, okay? I almost promise you. I'm almost done. I am. Church, let me. Somebody ask, Brother High, why is this so profound? Why is it so simple but yet so profound? Why do you believe? Here's why I believe the church. Because you know what? When we learn to love the Lord, when we learn that He's in charge, when we learn that it's all about Him, you know what? We learn to love the things that He loves. Yeah. Do you know that? That's just a fact of life. It's simple but profound. I knew a guy one time who you could not get him to eat squash, I don't care what happened, until he met this girl that was a vegetarian. And you know what she liked? Squash. I mean, it didn't take him no time. It didn't matter if it was boiled, fried, picked up off of the street, taken out of the garbage can. He loved squash. So that's, you know why? Because when you love someone, you learn to love what they love. You don't worry about a bunch of other stuff. When we learn to love Jesus, the one in charge, we learn to love what He loves. What does He love? Here's what He says. Jesus says this. Jesus says, I love the church, and I gave myself up Ephesians chapter 5. Do you love the church? Do you defend the church? Church, you know what? I'm traveling a whole lot right now, and I'm running into a bunch of people that want to change the church. I don't know if you have any of those here. You know, when you want to change the church from what this says the church ought to be, you don't love the Lord. You know why? Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 14. Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to keep my... You learn to love the church. When you learn to love the Lord, you learn to love people. People. You ever met anybody that don't like people? I meet them all the time. People who don't like people. And a lot of, like I always said it before, a lot of people who don't like people get public jobs. You ever notice that? Yeah. Churches, and let me tell you something this morning. If you don't like people, Christianity is not where you need to be. It's not. Jesus said, I left heaven and came to earth to give my life, what? A ransom for many. What does many mean? Many means lot, but the many, you know what, you could actually replace that word, and that word is people. People. And when you love the Lord, you learn to love people, and therefore, when you learn to love people, you bring people to Him. How many people have you brought to the Lord? How many people have you brought to the one that you say you love? Now, you know what? We're busy listening to all this stuff out here. And now, let me tell you something. Listen, I am not for abortion. You hear me? Everybody hear me now? Listen to me. Let me say it again. So if you go out here, I don't want you going out here repeating me wrong. Brother Harmon, I am not for abortion.
You hear me? But let me tell you something, church. Because we love the Lord, we've got to learn to love people. And what they've done to us today is they have placed our minds in such a mindset that we are out here ready and willing to save babies when we're not saving adults. We're not saving adults. And do you know what that backfires on us? Because if our focus becomes saving babies and not saving adults, then these adults who are out there are going to raise these babies. And you got the same problem you had that you started with. I'm not for abortion, church, but you know what? I love the Lord. And sure, the Lord doesn't want babies to be killed. But you know what? The Lord says, go and do what? Make what, church? Make disciples. The command is not go. A lot of people think that's the... And some of you could probably, oh, no. That's not the command. Go and look at it and then call me tonight. Okay? That's not the command. That's something you're going to be doing. Here's the command. The command is make disciples. When you break that sentence down. Make disciples. You know, and we're going to make disciples because we love the Lord. We love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? We can sit all day, we can sing all day, we can read all day, we can pray all day, but the question still comes back. Do I love the Lord? Matthew, I think it's Matthew chapter 15, if you'll find it for me real quick, and I'm almost done, just another 3 hours. Matthew chapter 15, I believe there's the text, and beginning with verse 8, what does the text say in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 8?
These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.
Kurt, what does it say again?
These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.
They honor me with their lips. How easy it is to say, yes, yes, I love the Lord. And I appreciate that. But in the world we live in, how difficult it is to live it. Yes. I love the Lord. I know He's in charge. I know no matter what happens, I know no matter what takes place, I'm victorious. I know my name might not be there, but I know when I read Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. I know that when he says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, some of you, they might even put to death. That might not happen to me. But I know that there's a part of it that applies. I mean, and he says, but you be faithful unto death. Not until unto, even if you have to die. You know why? Because you love God. You be faithful unto death. And what am I going to do? I will give you a what, church? A crown of life. You know why? Because you love the Lord. I'll
close this morning. And I'll close this morning with the same statement I started with. Do you love the Lord? And I'll say this. If you truly love the Lord, don't worry. Because he's in charge. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And we skip down just a few verses, and it says, and the Word came and dwelt among men. We know who the Word is. It's Jesus. Paul said this. Paul said, I don't care where you are. And he didn't actually say, I don't care where you are. I'm adding that. But Paul said this. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. How many of us, we're dependent on, and I keep referring to the White House because there's so many people dependent on the White House. We're dependent on the Constitution. We're constantly hearing, this is my right. This is my right. According to, and most of the time, when we talk about our right according to the Constitution, it's not even according to the Constitution itself. It's according to what? It's called a what? An amendment to the Constitution. Don't put your faith in the Constitution. It can change tomorrow. Okay? Put your faith somewhere else. If you love the Lord, here's your Constitution. You know what? My rights are spelled out here in this Constitution. My rights, your rights, it puts us all on the same playing field. You are, I am, a sinner, lost, needing the grace, needing the saving power of Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you have. I don't care where you live. I don't care what you drive. I don't care what you're wearing this morning. I don't care what's in your bank account. You're going to die. You're going to die. Anybody here believe you're not going to die? I tell people, one day you're going to wake up dead and you're going to be surprised. Yeah. You're going to say, Brother High told me this was going to happen. And the only thing that's going to matter is, do you love the Lord? What about that bank account? Did you love the Lord? What about that big house I had? Did you love the Lord? What about where I went to school? What about all the A's I made in algebra? What about, and I not only took algebra, I took trigonometry, whatever that word is. Young people, all that's going to matter is, did you love the Lord? Simple, but profound. I want you to imagine just for a moment, and the lesson shows. I want you to imagine, what would Windsor be like if everybody out there truly loved the Lord? What would it be like? Just imagine that. Let's come in that door. Let's come in this door. And let's ask, what would it be like in this room if everybody loved the Lord? I'm not saying you don't love the Lord, then I'll ask this question. What would it be like if everybody loved the Lord even more? When you love the Lord, you seek to learn. You learn to love what He loves. You learn not to stress. You learn not to be worried about everything. Why? Because you learn to love Him. You learn to love His Word. You learn to know that His Word is gold. This morning, anybody need to come to Jesus? Do we have anybody? I don't know everybody in this room this morning, but we might have someone who you have not obeyed Jesus. You have not obeyed Him. You can come this morning believing that He is, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You can come this morning and you can say, I'm tired of this whole life. I'm ready to repent. I'm ready to turn around. That's called repentance. And Luke chapter 13, verse 3, verse 5, Acts chapter 17, verse 30, He says, you've got to repent. This morning you can come and you can say, you know what? I believe that He's the Son of God. I believe He's the Son of God. I believe He's my Savior. And you know, that's called a confession. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 tells us with the heart man believes. That's a step. But then with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And you can come this morning and you can be buried with Him in the watery grave of baptism. That's where you come in contact with His blood. And you know what? The reason one day the only thing that's going to matter is, do you love the Lord or did you love the Lord, is because you're going to be in a situation to where you're going to need His blood. You're going to need His blood. You're going to need His blood to hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This morning, you can come in contact with His blood, Romans chapter 6. This morning, you can be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. This morning, you can clothe yourself with Jesus Christ. Maybe we have someone in this audience, though, that you've done those things, but when you really think about the question, do I love the Lord? I haven't really loved the Lord. Maybe somebody might need to repent from where you are. Do that. Maybe someone needs to come forward while we're singing an invitation song and say, God, forgive me. Church, forgive me. I want, that's whatever your need is this morning. That's why we sing an invitation song. It's because we love the Lord and we want to give others the opportunity if they need to obey. Do you love the Lord this morning? Not are you in church, not are you sitting in a pew this morning. Do you love the Lord? Not are you singing, not are you praying. We do that. Did you give? No. Do you love the Lord? The answer is so profound because it makes the biggest difference in life. If you need to come to Jesus this morning, we invite you to do it as together we stand and as we sing to encourage
you. Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us, shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus.
Let's pray. Our God and our Father, as we come to you in prayer at this time, we just thank you, Father, for this just wonderful, amazing Lord's Day that you've given us. Thank you, Father, for this place and this opportunity that you've given us, Father, that we can gather here as your church, that we can worship and that we can praise you, Father. And our prayer is that our worship to you this morning has been pleasing. Father, that we have truly glorified you. And Father, that you know that we have worshiped you because we do truly love the Lord. Father, we thank you for bringing Brother Hawatha to us this morning. Thank you, Father, for your message that he has been able to present to us this morning. We just pray, Father, that we would all open up our hearts, that we would truly accept your word, Father, that we would truly love to learn to just love you more and more every day. Father, we pray that you would continue to bless Hawatha. Father, that you would guide and direct him, that you would put those in front of him, Father, that just need you. And we pray, Father, that you would help each one of us, that we would go out into this world, Father, that knowing that we need to spread your word, spread your gospel, Father, to bring those to you. Father, at this time, we know that there are many on our prayer list. As we've heard this morning, Father, there's many around the world that are on the prayer list, Father. Those that just need your comfort, need your peace. Father, you know what's in each and every one of our hearts. There may be those that aren't on our prayer list, Father. There may be those struggles that we battle within ourselves that we just need you. Father, we know that you are in control of every situation. We know, Father, that you know all things. And whatever your will would be, Father, and whatever comfort you can provide, that is what we pray for at this time. Father, we pray that you would go with us as we all go our separate ways. Again, Father, just taking your word, putting it into our lives. Father, giving us that burning love for you, that we would go out and that we would spread your gospel, that we'd be shining examples, Father, to everyone that we're in contact with. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of fellowship. We know, Father, that we're going to go have a time of fellowship at this time. We just pray, Father, that you would bless that time, that would be an encouragement to us. Father, that you would bless the food and those that have prepared it. Father, you know each and every one of us do love you. We do want to love you more. And Father, we just need your help from time to time. Father, we all want to live perfect like your Son, but we know, Father, that we fail you. We pray, Father, you forgive us of those sins. In Christ's name, amen.
So you got this, Matt?
No, I've got it right here.